Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Welcome to another edition of Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. We're better than okay. We're worse than okay. We're just in the middle. We are okay. Mediocrity, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Find us, please, because we love you. I'm Brian Kluger, and I'm joined by Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Miggert. What's up, players?
How's it going, man?
What's going
you can
on?
Just call us Jonathan. That works.
Jonathan? Jonathan, Jonathan Erdber. My goodness. Guys had a good week, good weekend and everything?
Oh, yeah, yeah, man.
Definitely.
Good, 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 good. We have so much to talk about this week on our episode of Mediocrity. So much has happened news-wise, movie-wise, and all that good stuff.
Somebody had a birthday.
I did have a birthday. 36 years old.
Which, according to your text you sent me, is old as duck.
Old as duck. God damn autocorrect.
Damn. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
What did you do to celebrate?
Oh, let's see. There was what was there? There was lots to eat. There was Asian food. There was Thai and Vietnamese food. There was a Argentinian steakhouse. There was a cooking class where I learned how to make sushi. There was barbecue and Italian food. It was basically just eating a whole lot. I went to the record store and bought some records. And I got an awesome board game, which I want to play with you two amongst other people. It's called Secret Hitler, and I don't know if y'all know anything about this game.
I have never heard of it.
Okay, so Secret Hitler is a board game, and it was I think it still is the biggest crowdfunded board game ever through Kickstarter. Like, it raised I think over $1 million or more for this board game to get going, like, a couple years ago. And it's super fun. The least amount of people you should play with is six people. But people are either fascists or liberals, and there's a secret Hitler. And you try to figure out who's who. It's super fun. Will Wheaton narrates the game, which is awesome. I played it at Fantastic.
Wait, so is it a multimedia game?
No. So basically, when you're all to begin the game, everybody puts out their fist into the center. Everybody has their eyes closed. All the fascists, Nazis, basically, open their eyes, and they know who the other Nazi is, and then they know who the liberals are. Secret Hitler keeps their eyes closed but gives a thumbs up. And so it's basically the liberals to make sure there's a liberal government through the end of the game, and the Nazis make sure the Nazis do it. But the Nazis have the upper hand because they know who's who. It is super fun. So when you do that, when you start the game, there's an app on your phone that has Will Wheaton narrating how to do it.
Gotcha.
And he's
gotcha.
Like, he's in like a fun voice. It's super fun. Cause I don't play a lot of board games, but Secret Hitler, damn it, if I didn't have a ball playing that till 5 a.m. one night at Fantastic Fest with 10 other people. But it's kind of like a bluffing game. Like, if you have no poker face, you'll be so terrible because you can accuse people like you're a fucking Nazi. And then one of my friends who has no poker face says, I'm not a Nazi. I'm like, God, yes, you are. So you gotta, everybody tries to be a liberal. It's super fun, and we all need to play it because I think it would be hilarious.
Sounds like a good game,
no,
man.
It's super good. But it was a good birthday. I can't believe I'm 36. I am I'm only, am I, so Jeremy, you're 41 or 40?
41.
Okay, so still 5 years older. And Jonathan, you're like 12 years younger than all of us, right?
Something like that.
Like 24 over there. Are you not 30 yet, are you?
I am 31.
No, you're 31, so you're not far behind.
Oh, no, I'm exactly 10 years younger than Jeremy.
I've got a D on John.
A D on John. I went... my head's going certain places with that, so you have to clarify for me what that means.
It's a decade.
He's,
but
he's
like
got a D on like... me, and I've got my D on him.
From California, right?
All the way.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, we have a lot of stuff to get to today. Later on the show, we are going to recast Three Amigos, but with a twist, with 60-year-old women or above. So we're going to remake Three Amigos, but instead of – we're going to make it as if the actresses were over 60. So I think that's fun. I'm excited.
I think so, too. Jeremy made a good point that we have already recast this movie, but I think recasting it with all senior citizen female leads is going to be great.
Correct. First little bit of news, just real quick. The first production photo of Unbreakable 2 came out, and we saw Samuel Jackson in his purple garb in the wheelchair, Mr. Glass. Did that get everybody excited?
Oh, yeah. That's why I sent it to you guys.
This makes me happy. Yes, yes, yes. Fuck yeah. So good. Let's get a little comic book news right now, and it deals with a big Marvel creator of the Marvel Universe, Brian Michael Bendis, who you probably know, who got really popular and really mainstream when the Ultimates came out. And then, I mean, he's been around before then, but from then on, he's like Marvel's go-to guy. But Jeremy, what's going on with this?
Well, so he didn't really get popular with the Ultimates, just like to fix that just a little bit there.
Oh, okay.
So the first writer of the Ultimates was actually Mark Millar. Okay. Then when that book got popular, Marvel decided to open up what they called like the Ultimate Marvel Universe. And it was just like a lot of their characters kind of freed of starting over it with origins, but freed of, you know, like 40, 50 years of continuity. And the thing that Bendis is most known for is he started Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay,
so he kind of did he did the ultimate reboot of Spider-Man and Peter Parker. But then he also created the Miles Morales Spider-Man, which was super popular, which was also in that line as well.
So he's doing well for himself.
Yes. And so in addition to that, he was a guy that anytime Marvel would launch a movie or frequently like I don't know if he did it with Daredevil, but I know he did it with the Netflix Defender series. But almost any time Marvel would launch a movie, like when they launched Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, he was the writer that they tapped with kind of going in and relaunching a Guardians of the Galaxy comic, not making it exactly like the movie, but making it accessible in the same ways that the movies are. And so he was very much like that guy. He was kind of like Marvel's overall kind of comic line architect. And in addition to that, he also served as Marvel had this group of dudes, I forget what they were, some kind of like creative comic collective, and they would not supervise the movie, but they would watch the movies and like as they were making them and make sure that, you know, like powers were correct and characters were done right.
So he's like he's like a consultant on the Marvel movies. Like,
yes.
Make sure everybody's in their bounds and what the comic fans want and stuff like
that. Yep.
Cool.
And so he is gone to DC after 18 years at Marvel.
So wait. You mean Brian Michael Bendis, the Marvel guy,
mm-hmm.
is going to DC? Isn't that like kind of equivalent of Stan Lee going from Marvel to DC right now?
Yeah, that would be of a similar fashion.
So what's the deal there? What happened? What has DC got that Marvel don't got?
I think Bendis has written everything at Marvel. He's done the Avengers. He's done the X-Men. I mean, he's done pretty much everything. So I think he just he wanted a change. And so it's like a multi-year deal. And they said it's multifaceted, which I imagine he'll be doing a very similar thing he did at Marvel, like when the Aquaman movie comes out. He will probably be launching a new Aquaman comic.
So basically, he made Marvel, you know, the whole Avengers, Marvel Cinematic Universe, the Ultimates world and everything. Bendis was the go-to guy. So maybe he'll fix DC.
Well, DC doesn't really need fixing in that regard.
You don't think so? You don't think it needs, like, I mean, I guess comic book-wise.
You're talking
like
about movie, the movies that
yeah,
needs
movie
fixing.
Yeah, movie-wise.
Well, he won't be, he'll probably, like, do the same type of thing, but I don't know if he'll have enough control that he'll actually, you know, give a yes or no on things.
We don't know if he can shine that turd that much.
Yeah.
oh my gosh. So Bendis is gone. So is Marvel and DC both out of New York? Because I know Marvel is.
No, DC has been in California for a few years now.
So he's relocating, basically.
He might. I don't know. He's lived in, like, Portland for a long time.
Okay. So I guess it must be closer. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So but that's big comic news, man. That's
yeah. Because he's, like, basically built his own little, like, comic community up in Portland where people that move there and all kinds of stuff. And not only that, there are a lot of Marvel, like, big-name Marvel artists that they didn't work exclusively with him, but they pretty much did. So there could be several big-name Marvel artists that end up, you know, kind of coming over to DC to continue working with him.
But that's good, though. That leaves room for the new generation or new people that looking to get into comics and shit like that.
Yeah.
Does he have a first project he's working on, or has he announced that yet?
Nothing is announced yet.
Okay, just that he's moving and it's going to happen.
Just that he's gone, that he's there.
Oh, so he's already there. There's no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was announced and official.
All right. And Atterbury, you don't do comics, do you?
I do not.
Okay. well, that's big news, man. And I guess we wish him the best, and hopefully DC gets some Bendis-y stuff, movie-wise at least. To help with that whole side, because I know a lot of the DC comics are actually pretty badass. So, yeah, Brian Michael Bendis, let's hope for the best there with that. Let's move on to a little bit of video game stuff. There's a new video game out, or coming out this week, and I believe Atterbury was so excited he somehow managed to get himself early play on it. Star Wars Battlefront 2, which we've talked about this video game, Star Wars Battlefront, many times on this podcast. I think for the bulk of the episodes, I never had the game. And then I got the game, thanks to Jeremy. And then we played it, I think, three times. There's just so much other stuff. Destiny came out. I don't know. But Star Wars Battlefront 2 comes out this week. Atterbury's played it. I don't know if Jeremy's played it, but you know what we've had to say about this game, that it is, it was super fun, but super pain in the ass to play.
Battlefront 1 you're talking
Battlefront
about.
Battlefront 1, yes. Battlefront 2, has it been fixed? Is it better? Is it fun? Or is it worse or more or less the same?
It is so much better.
So is this just
so much better?
Is this Star Wars goggles on, like beer goggles? Like you're just excited for a new Star Wars?
If that was
game?
The case, I would have liked Star Wars Battlefront 1. I did not. I had a lot of frustrations with that game, and one of my biggest frustrations with the first was that as a shooter, it was god awful. The guns felt like nothing. It was just a terrible shooter, and it had nothing to do with skill. It was just a matter of getting the drop on the other person, and you know, it is impossible to get any kind of kill streak going or anything like that. So it just didn't feel anything like a competitive shooter. It just felt like a kid game. But this, they fixed that so totally with this one. This, honestly, I would say this feels the most like old Halo to any game I've played recently.
So like Halo 1 or 2?
Yeah, like Halo 2-3, I would say.
What?
As far as like the survivability of the different characters, it's not just like one shot, you're down. Like, you know, Call of Duty World War II is amazing, but you die so fast and so many times. It is so hard to get anything more than a double kill in that game. But this one, I had a streak going of like 15 kills. on this one, because it's just like it just feels so much better. It feels so much different than the other shooters that are modern feel.
So you take it the developers actually listened to their fan base.
I think they really did, because honestly, like, so far, everything that I've tried out, and I've tried out every game mode they have so far, you know, they've got the different modes where you can play as the heroes, the different modes where you can play as just the normal troopers, and then they've got, like, the space mode, basically.
So we can fly around.
Flying around ships. And all three feel so much better. The heroes move and perform so much better. The ships do the exact same thing. It's just so much huge improvement. And the guns feel fantastic when you're shooting that gun, because Jeremy and I discussed this in the last Battlefront. When you were in first person mode, it was fucking awful. The only thing that made it even tolerable was the switch to third person mode. And this one in first person mode, it's better. It feels so good in first person mode.
Wow.
So I am totally stoked with it so far. But so everyone's gonna have access to it as of the 17th, which is this Friday. Anyone who pre-ordered the deluxe edition will have access to it tomorrow, Tuesday the 14th. And then anyone who's got EA access can get access a day early, I believe.
Okay. So you've been playing it. What about Jeremy? Have you played it yet? Have you got it? Are you getting it on Friday?
I will get it on Friday. I played the beta a little bit, but it wasn't the full game. It was just like some snippets of maps. And I think part of one map, and then a small space battle. And it seemed better, and there were, you know, nice things like different classes of Stormtrooper that you could play as, which makes, you know, which was a big feature in the previous battle, the previous Battlefront. Like, if you were battle droids, you know, you could play as a super battle droid, or like a sniper droid, or, you know, captains, or whatever. And so, like, you know, they kind of showed a little bit of that, but when I played the beta, it, like, you could tell it was still incomplete. So I was kind of really looking forward to seeing, you know, what the finished product was going to be.
All right.
Man, it's so smooth, and the guns all feel different. That was one of the biggest problems with the other one, is, like, you could use a pistol, basically, and snipe someone from across the map.
Yeah, because the auto-aim was so terrible.
And this has fixed that, basically.
Oh, nice.
So the guns all feel different. The ships feel fantastic. Here's the big thing that everyone's kind of losing their damn minds about on the internet right now is microtransactions. Everyone is like, oh my God, they're just like, they've fucked it up so bad. They're so greedy and so terrible. But I have not experienced that. They were saying, basically, I read something that scared me, saying if you want to play as Luke or Darth Vader, you have to spend 40 hours grinding to unlock them, or you can just pay the money to unlock it early.
So grinding, is that just playing the game, basically?
Playing the game to earn credits in-game, basically. Like, it takes 60,000 credits to unlock one of those major heroes.
Or you can pay, what, $5 a piece?
I don't know if it's five. It's probably $5 a piece, something like that. I haven't really looked into that. But, you know, you start the game. The thing is, like, everyone's acting like, oh, my God, you can't be any heroes. But there are 4 playable heroes for the good guys and 4 playable heroes for the bad guys, which is the same amount that Battlefront 1 started with. And the only difference is that you can use in-game credits to unlock other heroes. And it's like, I'll tell you this, I've been playing for about 2 or 3 hours today, and I'm already 1/3 of the way to having enough to unlock Vader or Luke. So it's definitely not 40 hours. Like, that is a humongous, unless you are awful. If you are terrible at that game, it might take you 40 hours. But so if you are half decent.
Yeah. So it'll take me 40 hours.
So should just pay for
55,
it.
55, maybe.
55.
But if you're half decent, you'll get it in, like, you know, 2 days of solid playing.
All right. So I got to ask, one of the big problems about Battlefront 1 was matchmaking. It took literally maybe 8 to 12 minutes to actually get into a game. And not only that, there were so many menus and submenus to get through to get into a game.
This flows so much better. So much better. And so imagine, okay, today, think about how few people are playing the game today.
Okay.
Compared to how many are going to be playing on Friday and forward.
Right.
Because this is only if you have EA access. I haven't had to wait more than a minute to get in like a full-blown game. If that. It's really a fast matchmaking service. It flows well. It all seems to work excellently.
So that might be different come release day on Friday because, like we saw with Call of Duty World War II, everybody gets it for Friday and Saturday, probably servers are going to be fucked up and it's kind of going to be a shit show.
I don't know. I think that when they do it gradually like this, this is a much better way of dropping it because the problem is when you just have a one day huge release, then the servers never can quite seem to cope with that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have this kind of like gradual flow, they can make sure, okay, our servers seem to be operating at, you know, this much capacity, so do we need to do anything differently or what? I think it gives them a better opportunity to stay ahead of that ball.
Good.
Yeah, Destiny basically built, Bungie built that little queue for Destiny 2 where on that day it came out when you signed in, they just kind of like put everybody in a small wait so it wasn't, you know, just thousands of people jumping in at the same time.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good deal.
You should mention the DLC, too.
Oh, yeah. One awesome thing is that as kind of EA's apology for sucking big time with the last Battlefront game, they've decided to make all the DLC for that is coming out for Battlefront 2 totally free to all players.
For how long?
As long as they're making it. They said every piece of DLC will be free.
What? Every piece?
Every piece of DLC. Now, I think that there's going to be the opportunity. I get the impression that you're going to have the opportunity to pay to get it early. Like if a Death Star expansion pack comes out on January 15th, you might be able to pay $5 or $10 to get it a week or two earlier than that. But outside of that, it's all going to be releasing free for all players, all the DLC, period.
Huh.
They said every bit of post-release gaming will be free.
Well then, well.
To me, that's a great trade-off for the microtransactions.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really only if you're super impatient.
I would rather them offer microtransactions and free DLC than pay $60 for a game and $30 for a season pass.
Absolutely, and one thing that's also important is to note that the microtransactions do not offer anything that you cannot get in-game just by playing it. So it's only if you're, like, in a huge hurry. If you want to start the game and have access to all the heroes and all the stuff, then, yeah, you can pay to get all that. Or you can just play and earn it.
Okay.
Like a real man.
So I'm not mad about it. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Like a real gamer.
Like a real gamer. No, yeah, I mean, unless, like, Luke and Darth Vader are literally, like, $1.99 each, I will play the game. Because, you know, I'll spend the $4 to get the two unlocked. But if it's more than that, then I'll just play the game until you earn it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you start the game with some pretty solid heroes for each side. So it's not like you're hurting for anything good to use, you know?
What do you start with?
So on the villain side, you start with Boba Fett.
Cool.
Bossk, Darth Maul, and I'm forgetting the fourth one. But on the hero side, you start with Yoda, you start with Han Solo, Lando, and Chewbacca. Not Chewbacca. Damn, I'm forgetting the fourth one. I seem to only remember three for each of them. But
I'm surprised
like
they
that.
Don't have Rey and Kylo for the opening sets.
You're right. That's the one. Those are the other ones they have. Rey for the heroes and Kylo for the villains.
Well, okay.
I forgot the ones that don't matter that much. At least so far.
Well, I can't wait to play it. I really can't. Dude, like,
I am so excited. I was so hopeful. I was really, you know, trying not to get my hopes up too much, but after giving this, you know, 3 hours of play so far today, my hopes are high, and I am feeling really good about this, and I'm pretty optimistic that we'll all be able to seriously enjoy some good multiplayer on this.
Damn. I say damn.
My brother's getting it.
Ooh, that's exciting also.
Wait, who is?
I just said who.
His Chris, brother.
Really? Chris is getting the Star Wars game?
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to watch a Star Wars movie, but he's going to get a Star Wars game.
I wonder. Oh, I
so
guess
we'll have a pretty good crew. We'll have a five. Well, if you count Josie and Lauren, then that's six people that we'll have playing it.
I'm just trying. my mind is blown. I guess if you told him that it was like Halo 3, which is like one of the best games ever made, I could see that, I guess.
Huh. I didn't say it's like Halo. I said it feels the most like Halo of all the shooters I've played since Halo.
Okay.
It feels more like Halo than the last Halo game.
Okay. All right, all right. I'm excited, man. I am excited. I will do this. I will get it. We will play. And oh god, if there's four of us, holy shit. Battlefront 2, I'm excited. I hope John is right about this.
I usually am.
Oh, you usually are. There he is. I guess a little bit more news. Call of Duty World War II. Been playing that. Played the zombie mode, which is super fun.
It's Left 4 Dead, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
It's basically Left 4 Dead. It's a huge amount of fun. It's like Left 4 Dead, but newer and better.
It's what Left... Yes, exactly. It's gory. There's some cool looking zombies. There's stuff you have to do. It's pretty sweet. I enjoy it.
It's intense, too. That zombies mode is like, you get sweating when you start playing that, man.
Yeah, completely. But like John said earlier, that game is very difficult. Like, my kill-death ratio is insane. Like, I might have 180 kills, but my deaths are, like, in the 400s.
Dude, even my kill-death ratio is horrendous in that game. Like, I get the shit kicked out of me pretty regularly on that game. It's freaking hard.
It is. It is super difficult. What else as far as... on the run sheet, somebody, Jeremy, you put EA subscription for Madden and FIFA. Was that not originally in the EA subscription package?
No. So like, well, the way it works now is from what I heard that if you want to play Madden, like anytime there's a new Madden and or a FIFA game, you no longer can just buy the game. You have to pay a subscription service to play it on a monthly basis.
Wait. So I have EA, but then I have to pay extra to get their two biggest games?
Well, yeah. So like to like get it right. So when you have EA access, it doesn't guarantee you, like, you don't get to play the game when it's brand new. You have an opportunity to buy it when it's brand new at a slightly discounted rate. So there is going to be a specific subscription service to playing FIFA and Madden.
All right. Well, that's weird.
Yeah, so they're going that route because I mean basically they pump out a new one of those games like every single year, and so they're testing the subscription route for that. But everybody I know that plays those games though doesn't get the new one every year. They typically get it every other year for when there's like a more noticeable difference between the games.
Right.
Well, there you go. I get, man. I mean, like you know, I've paid for the EA subscription. You know, it's like what, $30 a year. But I guess I never. But I guess I don't play Madden or FIFA. And it just. But if I guess I wanted to now, I'd be like, huh? I gotta pay extra for this now when I just it's the same service. I don't know.
Well, the difference though now is like you. I don't think they're going to have it set up to where you can just buy those games. You can't just like be like, I want this Madden game for $60.
Wow. So what he's saying is like, if you have EA access, you can pay $5 or $10, whatever the price is, a month extra to have access to the newest Madden and the newest FIFA. Right, Jeremy?
Yeah. So like now the way it works is, you know, when this Battlefront game comes out this week, you won't get to play it free for EA access until probably like 6 months.
At least.
Well, all right then. Well, it's still going to happen because I want to play the Star Wars game. Well, I don't know
why. You mean you're still going to buy it?
Yeah, correct. I'm still getting it.
Yeah.
Still going to happen.
But the cool thing is if you have the EA access, you get a 10% discount on it.
Yeah, that's fine. That'll be fine. All right. Well, Star Wars Battlefront 2, EA news, Call of Duty news. Let's move on to updated news article that we talked about last week. Last week we talked about Lord of the Rings getting shopped around for a TV series. It has happened. It is official. Amazon Studios has purchased Lord of the Rings, the rights to Lord of the Rings, for a multi-season commitment. So yes, Amazon is going to be exclusive to Lord of the Rings now. The deal, like we said last week, came in right under $250 million, and that was just for the rights. Also, this deal, in addition to multi-seasons, it's probably at least three or four, it also gives Amazon the option to do a spin-off series as well. Also, this series will be a prequel to Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay.
Which will be produced by Amazon Studios in cooperation with all of Tolkien's estate and trust, as well as New Line Cinema, Warner Brothers, and HarperCollins. So
I was going to ask if New Line and Warner Brothers were involved in this.
They Amazon, that it's their baby, but in addition, in cooperation, I guess at least four different companies are going to help out. So
interesting. So it's a prequel to Lord of the Rings. Is it The Hobbit?
You know what? I don't know. Like the press release said a prequel to the Fellowship of the Ring, because there is definitely time, right, between the end of The Hobbit to Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how much time?
That's really a pretty boring period in Middle Earth history.
They'll add some dragons or something. Who knows?
Well, I wonder, like, I mean, there's like, you know, thousands of years of history before the Fellowship of the Ring. So they could, there's a whole lot of shit they could do.
So, yeah, all right. The head of Amazon Studios said that they're excited to do this, and they're going to take new adventures and journeys in Middle Earth. It's going to be set in Middle Earth, it will follow new storylines that that take place before Fellowship. So
that's exciting. I'm excited.
So yeah, I guess that's good. I guess. I mean,
I think Josie will be excited now too, that she'll know it's not just a remake of the thing she loves so much. It'll just be more of the thing she loves so much.
Is that true?
Hey, I sold her on an idea where I was like, well, what if they do this? And I was like, see, if they do that, you wouldn't be excited to see it. And she was like, okay, that would be awesome. Like, because you have Sauron, and she was explaining to me, you know, like, Lothra nerding out on, like, early Sauron and, like, the, you know, the bad guy that was pre-Sauron that corrupted Sauron. And I'm like, look, I'm like, you don't want a movie? You don't want 13 hours of that? I was like, yeah. How do you not want 13 hours of that? And she's like, okay, that would be really cool.
Yeah, there's so much. I wouldn't be surprised one bit if they did, like, Beren and Lúthien and that whole story.
Who is that?
Which you guys probably don't know about.
You have it, like, Sauron is like a little boy that, like, lives in the desert. He's a slave. And then, you know, somebody comes and finds him.
And he has to push a wheel around. Huh. He gets a big sword and kills us like James Earl Jones with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's another movie. Never mind.
Well, Lord of the Rings. If you're a Lord of the Rings fan, it's a good time for you, because looks like there's going to be epic big budget TV series of Lord of the Rings, possibly two different series that is going to be new content and might provide some familiar characters, hopefully at least somewhere in there.
I'd be surprised if they don't take advantage of having the ability to do multiple shows with this right. I mean, they paid so much to make this, to get this rights, that I can't imagine they're not going to make maximum usage of it.
Oh, no, yeah. They definitely will. I mean, for somebody paying $250 million just for the rights, and then it's estimated that between $100 and $150 million for each season, plus all the advertising costs they'll do.
They're going to squeeze every bit of juice out of that lemon.
Yeah, they just need to go like the Netflix Marvel thing. It's like four shows and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
They'll give us a Boromir show. They'll give us an Aragorn show. And then they'll have the Fellowship show.
The team up.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's hope. All right. Well, speaking of streaming services like Amazon, I know we've talked on the show about the new Disney streaming service that we talked about. And back then, a few episodes ago when it was announced, we talked about how good it could potentially be if they did it right. Well, nothing has really been announced. Well, there's some stuff that's been announced since then, but it looks like the Disney streaming service will be cheaper than Netflix, which Netflix now, was it $9.99 a month, $10.99 a month?
I think so, because they had the price. They basically did a price increase right before Stranger Things 2 came out, where if you wanted to watch it, you basically had to, you know, agree to the increase.
Correct. And like I said, I've been with Netflix since they were still doing DVDs, physical DVDs in the mail. And, you know, I've been with them since it was like $6.99. Now it's, you know, it's gone up. And, you know, there was a time where I did cancel my subscription to Netflix because the price was going up for no reason. But then I saw their original content, and their original content is damn good, if not some of the best programming out there, original programming wise. So I've kept with it. But with this Disney service, we talked about like what's going to be on it. Well, it looks like, which we have other news to deliver about Star Wars, it looks like it's going to be the place to do all Star Wars stuff, including the new announcements of movies and television shows. Which do y'all want to get? Do you? Who wants to lead that topic? Because I know y'all are excited about it.
Why don't we let Jeremy deliver that good news?
Yes.
All right. So I think it was Bob Iger. What he had announced was that they were going to be cheaper than Netflix, because their goal was to have, they knew they were going to have less content, but you're also not going to get the Netflix filler, where when they debut 30 movies and, you know, 15 of them are from like the late 90s that no one wants to watch anymore anyway. So you're not really going to get the Netflix filler. But the cool things that you're going to get is you're going to get a new Star Wars TV show, which they've been trying to get off the ground ever since like The Force Awakens came out. I mean, like
before then, I remember literally almost over a decade ago, they were moving people to Singapore to start a live action TV series. That never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe it's actually going to happen now, which is awesome.
Yeah, so you're going to get that, and you're going to get a new Marvel TV show that's going to be exclusively on there.
Well, we have literally a million Marvel TV shows right now. If it's not the 90s X-Men cartoon in a live-action form, I don't know what I want. I can't believe it. Disney seems like to be doing right with their streaming service. What do you think?
Of course they're going to do right with their... That's what I said the whole time. Of course they're going to do it right. It's freaking Disney. They pretty much do everything the right way.
Well, I guess... Well, I don't want to say yes, but maybe you're right.
The only thing they've been doing, I think, that's a little misguided lately is just focusing, as far as Disney movies, on remaking... the live-action versions of all their older cartoons.
Hey,
I think that's misguided.
Exactly, but I'm with you there. I like Jungle Book, but I hated Beauty and the Beast, and I hated Cinderella.
I would rather see more original live-action movies from Disney. Like, that's one thing I think they've been really not putting out enough lately, is stuff like, you know, in the 90s, they had such a big... flood of live action original content from Disney, movies like The Santa Claus and things like that, that were fantastic Rocketeer, fantastic family movies that we don't really get on that scale anymore. You know, it's either kind of like the Marvel stuff or the Star Wars stuff or Disney cartoons or just remakes of other Disney cartoons.
And it sucks, but you know, from a business standpoint, you know, Rocketeer made some money, but fucking Beauty and the Beast live action remake made over $1 billion.
Yeah, but they still got to create new content. I mean,
I agree. I want
they
got
to do it.
I
otherwise in 20 years they're just going to be doing a remake of the remake of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh God, with Kevin Hart and Louis C.K. Too soon. so this Disney streaming service, like I said, I'm excited. I hope they haven't. I think people are looking to say that it's going to be between $6 and $10 for the streaming service. Now, that might be for the base model, because I know with Netflix or Hulu, even you can pay to either have upgraded to 4K or no commercials or whatever. So I wonder if there's going to be that type of tier service with Disney streaming.
Now, hold on. Now, Hulu is free unless you pay to get no commercials.
No, Hulu is $8.99. Hulu's not free.
It's free. It's free. I have it for free right now.
So if you have it for free.
It's for free unless you want to pay to have no commercials.
That nonsense, because I still get commercials with Hulu unless they literally just change that, because I think if Hulu is free, but you only get like maybe like the last few episodes of each show, where if you pay for it, you get every season. But with commercials, I think it's still.
So they're going to be charging off the bat for this. And if they really seriously want to compete with Netflix, they're not going to be able to have commercials in there. If they have a bunch of commercials in there, people are going to be like, not super hot on that.
No, but
it's not going to be competition for Netflix, because Netflix doesn't do that.
Exactly. They don't do that. However, they still have one of the best catalogs ever. So people will in Star Wars and Marvel. So those are big gets.
I don't see them doing the commercials thing. If you're already – people would be fucking pissed. If you're paying $6 to $8 to $10 off the bat and you're getting commercials, I think people would be outraged.
Are we all going to get this new Disney service though, no matter what?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yes. Now, if there's commercials, if there's heavy commercials, that would make me second guess it. But I don't think that's going to be the case.
Okay. Jeremy?
The only thing I could see there being commercials for is – if it's a show from like ABC, because even on Hulu, the ABC shows that have commercials, it's in the contract that they still have to show some of those. Yeah. So even if you pay for no commercials, that those still show up.
But they don't have to do that on Netflix, right?
There's no commercials on Netflix at all. Ever.
Yeah, so like when you watch S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that on Netflix, they don't have to show the commercials on there. So I would assume it'd be the same thing.
But the difference is Hulu gets those shows the day after they come out, and Netflix doesn't get them until the end of the season.
Right, right.
Or longer after, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. If they're trying to make it come out immediately, then yeah, maybe that's the way they got to roll with it.
All right.
So it might just depend what the TV shows, like, you know, when they're going to come out. If they're going to update, because I would imagine if they're going to show like something like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that's going to be on ABC, I mean, I would imagine they probably have to put that, you know, each episode up right away, because it would be weird to pay for the Disney streaming service and not get to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Like until like 8 months
sense.
Later.
So I imagine they'll probably have a little section, you know, like they have the different categories. They'll probably have the one for like the live air or this week's shows, you know?
Yeah. So it might be like kind of like areas or, you know, like a Netflix Hulu hybrid type of deal.
There you go.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm in.
As long as when they do the Star Wars show, it's just all episodes uploaded at once. No commercials.
You know, I hope they do that, but I could also see them like, oh God, they could literally make an extra $500 million a season if they put commercials in there. It could happen. Speaking of Star Wars, we just talked about there's going to be a new live action TV show, but it looks like they're already planning another trilogy in the movie universe of Star Wars. And it looks like director Rian Johnson, who's directing The Last Jedi, he's gonna be at the helm of all three of them, at least for now, which is saying a lot, because a few Star Wars directors recently have been fired and been replaced, but not Rian Johnson. So a new Star Wars trilogy already, which is no surprise, really, but theories, questions, queries, queefs. What do we think about this new trilogy?
Well, one thing that he has said is that it's going to be exploring a corner of the Star Wars universe that we've never seen before, right?
So never seen? Does that mean like that we've read? Or
well, just... all I know, I'm pretty sure that he's never, he said it's like the one we've never seen before. So,
okay.
But you know, all the stuff in the books is mostly not canon. So like with everything else, you know, they can pull aspects from this or that and kind of make it into their own thing.
Okay.
So I could see them doing that.
All right. All right. So Jeremy, thoughts?
I'm down. You know, it should be fun. I think, I know what I would kind of like them to do. So, you know, if they go that route, you know, I'm definitely down. So,
and what would you like them to do?
There was a rumor a while back that they were going to do an early, like, beginning of the Jedi movie, you know, where they're kind of portrayed as, like, similar to samurai type of deal. So you would get to see, like, the first, you know, building of the first lightsaber and what's it like. And the cool thing with that is if you get to see that, you should also get to see the birth of the Sith as well.
That'd be badass.
That could be a fantastic movie trilogy.
And you could lean so far on, like, you know, the science fantasy aspects of Star Wars. Because, I mean, you still could have, like, your technology and ships and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's like, it'd be so much fun.
I'm in. I am in all the way. More Star Wars, more Lord of the Rings. What kind of world are we living in right now? I don't get it. That we're getting more Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and superheroes. I feel like it's just made for mediocrity in us.
The nerds shall inherit the earth.
Oh my gosh, Star Wars. And it's no surprise either because, I mean, let's face it, Disney's going to make tons of Star Wars movies. So it's a good thing, I think, right?
Oh yeah, as long as they're good movies, I'm happy with it, man. Even a movie like Rogue One that I you know, it's all right, but I'm still glad it's out there. I'm still glad it exists.
So with the Star Wars, you would like to see it more of like a very early prequel to the Force and the Sith and the birth of the Jedi and all that, rather than maybe, let's say Kylo Ren and Rey survive this trilogy.
They're not doing that.
They're not doing that.
This is completely separate from any Skywalker storyline.
The new trilogy, the upcoming trilogy.
Yes, what he's doing is not connected to the Skywalker storyline.
And okay. I get the impression it's nothing that has anything to do with the movies that we've seen already.
Okay. All right. Well.
So I mean. I love the idea of that early Jedi stuff. There's so much in the books and stuff that I would love to see. You know, like Old Republic stuff would be great. You know, Jeremy and I mentioned how much we'd love to see the Darth Bane trilogy of books turn into movies. That would be amazing.
Cool.
But I don't think that's what we'll get, but it would be great.
Yeah.
Cool. No, I'm down for any and all of that. Whatever Star Wars puts out, I'll go see. Well, that's not true. I don't want a prequel fucking thing like we did with Jar Jar Binks, but
you'll
I know you'll
see it.
Yes, I will see it, unfortunately.
Jar Jar Binks origin story?
Yes.
Now, one side note. I thought about this yesterday about Jar Jar Binks here, and I was thinking that I really honestly hope that in Star Wars Battlefront 2, they make Jar Jar Binks one of the playable heroes. I honestly hope that they do that for the one reason being that it would be so insulting to kill someone as Jar Jar Binks. Like, imagine, like, you're just running around, you got a kill streak, and fucking Jar Jar Binks keeps on killing you over and over and over. That would be just a slap in the damn face, and that would be hilarious. It would be so funny.
I think he should be unkillable. And I don't think it should be as much that, like, Binks kills you as much as when you try to kill Binks, the game has some kind of, like, chaos generator that causes you to be killed by something else. Like, rocks fall on you or you get run over by a tank, you know.
Your bullets ricochet and hit you.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it'd be just absolutely hilarious to have someone be able to be Jar Jar Binks and, you know, make him not that super easy to use, but it'd be absolutely hilarious if you could kill people as him.
That's good shit. I like it. I like it. I like it. I would play with Jar Jar. It'd be the only way I would win, probably. It's true. It's damn true. Quickly about Punisher. Punisher TV series was supposed to come out a while ago on Netflix. In light of a bunch of mass shootings, they canceled it and pushed it back. But
Delayed it.
But that delay is over now, though. It comes out this week, right?
Comes out Friday.
Yeah. So exciting. I hear it's good and violent.
Of course we're excited.
Oh, yeah.
Those are things we love. We love Marvel stuff. We love good and we love violent.
If it's as good as Daredevil on Netflix, it's going to be a winner.
If it's as good as Daredevil and better than the other fucking shows that we've got from the Defenders, then I'm signed up.
Okay, good. Good. The Punisher. With no John Travolta or Thomas Jane.
A little sad about the second part.
Yeah. And also, quickly, Jeremy, you got in, you stepped into the virtual reality world. What was that like? What'd you play? What was it?
I played a couple things. The first thing I played was this little Star Wars simulator where you're on this desert planet, not Tatooine, and you're waiting to be picked up by Han Solo because you're a Padawan and Luke's rebuilding the rebuilding the Jedi Order, and Han Solo is supposed to come and pick you up. Well, he flies in, and it's insane because the Falcon lands like right above you, and it literally just looks like it's going to like come right down on top of you. But it basically comes, it's like, and everything is to scale. So, I mean, it like, as you look up and like, it's like, looks like it's touchable, like right there. And then a ramp comes, the ramp opens and R2 comes out and, you know, just looks fantastic. And then, of course something's broken on the Falcon. So he drops this panel out and you've got to push buttons and fix shit to kind of reboot it. And then while you're doing this, some TIE fighters come in and an Imperial shuttle lands. And R2-D2 hands you a lightsaber, and so you deflect blaster bolts and kill stormtroopers with deflected blaster bolts.
That sounds like your dream.
It was pretty amazing.
What was your reaction like? Were you like, oh, my God?
The whole time he's playing, he's just like, oh! Oh! Oh, God! Oh, God! I love it so much!
I don't know. I told Josie to film it, but I don't know if she did. I
she
filmed
didn't because
her.
Of the massive erection you were sporting.
I would have been fine with that. I still would have shown it to you. So we played that, and I played. They had a Batman Arkham game that was just about the most amazing video game thing I have ever experienced.
Really?
Because, I mean, when you've got the goggles on and you've got the headphones, you can't see or hear anything but what is being pumped into you on that game. And so, like, when you bring up the controllers, right, and you look at them, like, it's you don't see controllers. Like, you see bat gloves, you know, and gauntlets with the pointy things. And when you look down, it's like you've got, you know, your forensic tool over here and your grappling gun is over here on this leg. And that's the way, like, for example, like you move through the Batcave is, you know, you pull out the grappling gun, point at the thing, shoot it, and then it zips you up there. And that's when you're in, like, the Batcomputer area or the garage and, like, Alfred's there and, like, there's a computer. And so you pick up, like, this cartridge and put it in the computer and it shows – you know, the Joker doing stuff. And then you've got, like, you know, centrifuges you can play with. And then I ended up going to this area where somebody had attacked Nightwing. And so you have to figure out, you know, you're trying to figure out who attacked Nightwing and were there witnesses, were there fingerprints. I mean, it was intense and awesome.
That's very cool. So, yeah. So do you still have this? Were you somewhere demoing this, or do you have this in your possession right now?
One of Josie's coworkers has it, and we went over to his house to play it.
Oh, that's awesome. And which one was it? Do you remember?
I don't know. It was something through his PC.
Something through his PC. Okay. All right. That's badass. I want this VR thing now, too. Shit.
It was fucking epic.
So I've heard very good things about PlayStation VR, and if you since you want the VR and you have a PlayStation 4, I think it's like $400 and you get the full VR setup.
Would you? Yeah, no, I definitely want to do that, like, for real. So, I need.
Yeah,
to
that's
do that.
That's kind of what I've been wanting to do is because I've been, you know, as soon as Jeremy told me about this, I was like, yeah, I got to get into that VR thing. It's just a little out of my price point at this point, but it's so exciting, you know.
Yeah, no,
yeah, it is just pants shittingly good.
I mean, that's on the poster.
Like, I mean, when I put that helmet on for the Batman thing, I mean, I was speechless because I was like, I can't even fucking believe this. I was like, I'm like you are walking around in the Batman Arkham game, like, just fully
torqued and fully Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got a boner.
So yeah. Is it weird if I jerk off with this thing on? Because I can look down and see the bat glove.
Oh my Absolutely. Gosh. That's so cool. There's so many possibilities and activities to do. Oh my God. We brought them all up. I like it.
This was just ridiculous.
All right, let's go to our last segment here, where we're going to recast We Are the Three Amigos. And yes, like we said earlier in the show, we have recast this movie already. It's in an older episode, but we have a twist on it. What is our twist, Atterbury?
All-female, 60-plus-year-old cast.
Okay, so I recasted. There's four people. The Three Amigos, and I had to recast El Guapo.
Oh, see, I didn't do El Guapo. I just did the Three Amigos.
Okay. Well, I threw in the El Guapo.
That's fine. You can throw in your El Guapo.
But yeah, so this basically, if they were going to remake Three Amigos, but instead of hiring fairly young actors, how about do it with 60-year-old women or above? The minimum age is 60. Minimum age of 60. That really is a niche thing. This is like, you know, a very subcategory in porn. You know, over 60-year-old.
Oh, you made that super weird.
You're welcome. So, like, it's fairly difficult, you know, to, like, because there's only, you know, there's not, like you say, you're remaking it with actors and actresses. Holy shit. Now we're really cutting everything in half and in half and in half now. So there's a much smaller pool to choose from here.
I'll be interested to see if any of us chose the same actress.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be amazing when we all picked, all three of us picked the same three people.
I don't think that will happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if we all got at least one of the same person.
Okay, so who's going first?
Brian, you want to start first?
Okay, I'll start. So I'll get my El Guapo out of the way. My El Guapo, the villain, he's a sweater! I went Angelica Houston. just because I think she's awesome. I think she could be hilarious and kind of scary at the same time. So like a good funny villain. So okay. I went with her. So my three amigas, over 60, I've got Sigourney Weaver. She is 68.
Who is she playing?
Okay, so Sigourney Weaver is definitely playing Lucky Day Steve Martin.
Okay.
Mary Steenburgen is my other one. She is 64 years old.
Who is that?
Mary Steenburgen. She was in Parenthood, the movie. She was in Back to the Future 3.
She was in 40-Year-Old Virgin too, right?
No, that's Catherine Keener.
Oh, then I don't know who you're talking about.
You would know her. You would know her. She tons of 80s and 90s movies, but she's still around.
Okay, yeah. And who is she be playing?
She'd be playing Dusty Bottom. She would be great. Do you guys have anything besides Mexican food? Oh, so good in Santa Poco. So yeah, Mary Steenburgen, she's 64. And playing Ned Niederlander, Martin Short's role, would be 63-year-old beautiful actress Renee Russo. Because I think she would be really funny as, you know, can you tell it's a male plane? Do you know it's little balls? I don't know. And to see...
You got both Jeremy and I to just go like, huh. on that one.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So Sigourney Weaver, Mary Steenburgen, and Renee Russo all trying to come to terms with Angelica Houston. Would be amazing. That's my cast. I think that would be super fun. So I'm curious to see who everyone else picked.
Jeremy, you want to go on next?
I'll go next. I actually had the same pick for Lucky as Kluger, and I went with that because I knew that's what he was going to pick. I was Sigourney Weaver. The second you suggested this, I was like, Sigourney Weaver is going to be Kluger's pick for Lucky.
Yep.
For Dusty, I went with Faye Dunaway. And for Ned, I went with Christine Baranski.
Who's that?
Christine Baranski.
She was in... The Birdcage. That's something you would know her from. Like Robin Williams got pregnant for their son.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Yeah, she was in the Grinch Stole Christmas movie too, right? She was one of the Whoville people.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Awesome.
That's a good one.
Those are good. All right. I will go ahead and finish this up here, and I'm gonna start with I've chose one of the same ones as Kluger, but in a different role. So playing the role of Dusty Bottoms would be Angelica Houston.
I got her for El Guapo. You got her because for Dusty.
I think that she would be able to really just straight face deliver all of those ridiculous Chevy Chase lines. And I could just see it being really funny.
To see all these ladies do like the nip, 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 nanny, or something like that. Oh, my God. It would be so good.
I would just like to see Angelica Houston playing the Spanish guitar. Yep. And in the role of Lucky Day, I went ahead and cast Diane Keaton.
Oh, okay.
I think she would be awesome as Lucky. And for Ned Niederlander, I went ahead and cast the amazing Lily Tomlin.
Oh, man. I like that better than mine.
I think Lily Tomlin would be a fantastic Ned Niederlander.
Yes, she would. She so would. Oh, yes, that's a good casting choice right there. I like that. I like that a lot.
Now, do we want to take votes on which one we like best so we can actually full on cast this? And maybe I could even make a little Photoshop mock-up of the three amigos with our old actresses.
Well, right now, Ned Niederlander, it's two already
Lily Tomlin.
So, Jeremy, are you good with that?
That's fine.
All right. So, for Dusty Bottoms...
The choices were Angelica Houston. What was yours, Brian? Your both were Sigourney Weaver, right?
No, that was for Lucky Day.
So I guess as Lucky Day, then we'll go with Sigourney Weaver.
So you like that. You like that.
I like that. I like Diane Keaton, but I think Sigourney Weaver would be funny.
And my Dusty Bottoms was Mary Steenburgen. But that didn't go over well.
Mary Steenburgen, and then Jeremy's was, what?
Faye Dunaway,
and then mine was Angelica Houston. Which one do we want to make the official one?
I'm down with Angelica Houston. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I like that.
All right. So we've got Angelica Houston as Dusty Bottoms, Sigourney Weaver as Lucky Day, and Lily Tomlin as Ned Niederlander.
Let's do that. Let's do that poster. Just sing with the guitar. That is so funny. Oh, makes me want to go watch that right now.
Oh yeah, man.
Oh, that's good.
That is one of my all-time favorites.
Well, if we were missing anybody, go ahead.
I was going to say, we really need to do more of these recastings, but with like special little niches here, because I think that makes it really funny when we can think of something ridiculous for it.
I'm telling you, I did this a long time ago with Lord of the Rings with another podcast, and it had to be an all black cast of Lord of the Rings, and it was so good. I think we picked Gabardae or Gabber. What's her name? Gabardae Sibidae. We picked her for Gollum because it's precious. Playing My Precious. I don't know. Okay. Thought it was funny. But gotcha. But yeah, no, we need to do that. Oh, it'd be so good. We just have to it'll be amazing.
I like the idea that I presented last, which was we could do maybe a senior citizen casting of the Avengers. So it's all old people, not old men or old women, just like, you know, both genders for just all the Avengers characters.
I'm in for that.
But I think that would be fun.
I'm in. Jeremy, you in?
Sure.
Good. Good deal. Oh, that'll be good. That'll be excellent. All right. Well, that is Mediocrity Podcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Jeremy, where can they find you?
Instagram and Twitter.
Jeremy Magard Art. There you go. And Mr. Jonathan, where can they find you?
New American Fitness.
There you go. Check them out. Boomstickcomics.com, HighDefDigest.com, Mediocrity Podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Love us. We love you. We'll see you next week.